Well, before we begin this last teaching session, I know we do have a Q&A later, but since this is our last teaching session, I do want to again thank Donna and Pam and the team that put on this beautiful conference for inviting me. And I'm just very thankful and grateful to have been here. It's been a joy to be with you. You've been a very welcoming and encouraging group, so thank you very much. I would like to also let you know before I begin our teaching portion is just that I do have a few other resources that you may find helpful. They're at my website, cherylmarshall.com, and we have listed there a few articles that Caroline Neuheiser and I have written related to this topic of speaking the truth in love. So we have a few articles just to give you a couple of the titles: How to Know If My Words Are Helping or Hindering, 7 Tips for Confronting a Friend in Sin, How Knowing Jesus Changes Our Words, so different things like that. In addition, at cherylmarshall.com, I do have a free Bible study. It's a download that you can get there, and it is called Trusting God in Troubled Times, and it is a mini 5-day Bible study on Psalm 27, so I invite you to take a look at that as well. So before we begin this session called The Confidence to Speak, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these women that you have brought together here this weekend. I know that none of them are here by accident. And Lord, I pray that you will be using this weekend to strengthen them in their faith, to be strengthening them in their love for Jesus Christ. Lord, we have come here with some of us with heavy burdens, and so we pray, God, that you will give us the encouragement we so desperately need from your throne. We also pray for those of us who need correction and conviction that you will also teach us. And so, Lord, I pray for these next several minutes of being in your word that you will do your good work, that you will teach each of us what we need to learn from your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you will give me help as well. We thank you, God, that you are the gracious God, the God who loves us. And in Jesus' name, amen. When I was 5 years old and in kindergarten, I went to a very large school. At least it was large in our area. There were 3 kindergarten classes, and each of them had about 25 to 30 students each. And every year, the school held a large kindergarten graduation. And so you can imagine with 75 little 5-year-olds, there would be lots of grandparents, lots of aunts and uncles, siblings, et cetera, et cetera. And so there would be hundreds of people who would attend this graduation. And of course, you can imagine how cute it is in their little graduation, I want to say uniforms, that's not the word, but you know what I'm saying, their little graduation outfits, that's not the word either. But you can fill it in for me. So it's so cute. And every year they would choose one kindergartner to give the graduation speech. And guess who was asked to give the speech that year? I was asked to give the speech. So my teacher had contacted my mother. My mother came to me and said, "You've been asked to give the speech. It has to be a 1-minute speech." Well, what does a kindergartner talk about for a speech like that? Well, my mother and I decided that I would do that. And so my mother began preparing me. Of course, I couldn't even write anything down, barely. So, you know, she worked with me. We came up with the things that I would say. She figured out what I would be saying. She wrote it down for me, and she began practicing with me, you know, in the car on the way to school, at the breakfast table. We just had to spend a few weeks going over this and over this. Well, finally, the day of graduation came, and it was my turn to walk up those, I still remember the red carpeted stairs. It was like in an old Baptist church, you know, very stereotypical. And I walked up to the front, and there was a little microphone lowered, and I gave this speech, and I gave it without a hitch. I had no fear. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, when you're 5 years old, you don't know to be afraid of speaking in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. But I think there was a more important reason why I was not afraid. And that was because of my mother. She had helped me. She had given me the words to say. She had prepared me to say them. And when I spoke, she was right down in front. She was near. Do you know where I'm going with this? God has given us the words to say. God is preparing us, and He is near. As an adult, there are many times I have been fearful to speak the truth in love. I think that's a very common feeling among believers. You may have at times also felt ill-equipped, inadequate, insufficient for the task. And we are not alone in how we have felt. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the books of the New Testament. He led many people to Christ. He planted churches throughout the Roman Empire. He both suffered and served the Lord well. And yet, when he spoke of his ministry for Christ, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians 3:4-5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient for ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I am not sufficient for speaking the truth in love. You aren't, and Paul wasn't. We can't rescue anyone. We can't fix anyone. We can't save anyone. We can't change anyone. Only God can. And praise God that He does. In this session, I want you to see that our confidence to speak truth into the lives of others is rooted in God alone. God is our confidence. And so I would like us to read again Ephesians 4:11-16. I know we read it together last night, but I have been a piano teacher for 25 years, and so repetition is part of what I do. So we are going to repeat by reading this again, Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, He makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's consider what is said here in verses 15 and 16. Christ is the one who makes the body grow. Now, when does He do that? He does that when each part is working properly, and we've discussed that. The pastors and teachers equip the saints. The saints do the work of the ministry by building up one another, by speaking the truth in love. And when we do that, building up and speaking the truth in love, we are doing what each part is doing when we are working properly. When we are obedient to this passage, Christ makes the body grow. That is His plan. Christ ultimately does the work of building and growing the church. He is the one in charge, and He is the one who will bring it to completion. And so you may say, okay, Cheryl, I see what you're saying. Christians build up one another. God gives the goals. I'm to speak the truth in love. God is powerful to work. I know this glorifies Christ. But you might also be thinking, I am not ready to do that. I don't think I can. I feel so inadequate to speak into someone else's life. I have my own issues, I have my own sin, I have my own struggles, I have my own weaknesses. I'm not even sure what to say. I don't know how to correct someone. I don't know how to comfort. I don't know how to encourage. And even if I did, I don't know if the other person would like it. Honestly, I find this all a bit scary. It makes me very uncomfortable. Well, what I have learned and am still learning is that the Lord is trustworthy to give us, his people, what we need to help us in those moments to obey him. He gives us what we need to obey, even in speaking the truth in love. And so when I was that kindergartner giving that speech, it was only possible because of my mother. She helped me with the words, she prepared me, and she was with me. In the same way, actually in a much greater way, that is what God does for you. He has given you his word. He's even now, this weekend, preparing you to share his word with others. And when you speak into the lives of those you love, he is with you. When you are sitting at a Starbucks and a friend is sitting across the table from you and she is suffering, Christ is with you. When a young person stops you in the church lobby after church with tears in her eyes, the Lord is with you. When you get a phone call on the way home today from this conference from a friend or family member and they are calling you with a problem, because I know that's going to happen, the Lord is with you even then. To have confidence to speak the truth in love, you need to be convinced not only of the power of the word, but also be convinced of the presence of the Lord, that he is with you and in you to minister through you as you share his truth with those in need. And so we can learn a lot about the power of God's presence in our life by looking at the conversation between God and Moses at the burning bush. So please turn to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. At this point, Moses has been out of Egypt for 40 years. He had left Egypt because he had murdered an Egyptian and he was getting out of Dodge. He was a fugitive. And he had built a life with a new family as a shepherd in the land of Midian. And here God appeared to him in a burning bush. It was a bush that appeared to be on fire and yet it was not being consumed. The Israelites were still slaves in Egypt, and they had been crying out to God for deliverance. And we see that in verses 9 through 10. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. This is the Lord speaking. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now we know of another prophet named Isaiah who said, here I am, send me. That was not Moses' response at all. That is not what he was saying. Instead, Moses begins an argument. He starts giving God reasons, all these reasons why he should not be the one to go back to Egypt to deliver God's people. So like Moses, you may have objections also. You may have objections about stepping into another person's life with the word of God. So let's take a look at God's answers to Moses' objections and see what we can learn from them to build our own confidence in God when we speak to others. So number one, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, verses 11 through 12. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So basically what Moses was saying in verse 11 was this. Who am I that I should go? God, this is a big mistake. How could I possibly be the right person for this monumental task? And what is interesting is God focuses on the fundamental point or truth that Moses needed to know, and it was this: I will be with you. That is what Moses needed to know through this entire process, that the Lord God, the God of heaven and earth, would be with him. When considering to speak biblical truth into the life of someone with a spiritual need, you might wonder, like Moses, who am I that I should go talk to her about that? Who am I that I should say anything? I feel so inadequate and ill-equipped. But I want you to remember what Christ said before he ascended in Matthew 28. This is a very familiar verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to notice something. Christ was commanding them to speak. But then what was he doing as he commanded them to speak? He was also promising, I will be with you. So just as God was with Moses, Christ promises to be with us. We can be confident that he is present with us as we share his word. Secondly, we see in this interchange between Moses and the Lord, we see this truth. The Lord has sent you. The Lord has sent you. Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Moses was concerned that the Israelites would ask him by whose name or by whose authority he had come to them. And in verses 14 and 15, God explained to Moses that Moses was not going to be approaching Pharaoh in Israel based on any authority or message of his own. He was not approaching them on Moses' authority or with Moses' message. Rather, Moses was going to be approaching Pharaoh and the Israelites based upon the authority of God, with the message of God. Now, like Moses, you might wonder, what right do I have to speak into her life? I'm no authority on the issues she's facing, but I want you to remember a couple things. First of all, God has providentially placed you into her life, and God has providentially made you aware of the needs that she has. God hasn't sent you to her to give her your opinion. God has sent you to her to give you his wisdom. So approach her with a humble confidence in the word of God as the source of the encouragement or exhortation you give. You are sent to her with his word, and his word has authority for all of life. Thirdly, the Lord will validate his word. The Lord will validate his word. Now we're moving to Exodus 4, verses 1 through 5. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. Can we all just imagine, picture that for a moment? But the Lord called him back. Come back, Moses. Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. At this point, Moses had stopped asking questions. Instead, he started making assumptions. He assumed the worst. I'm going to go all the way back to Egypt, all that that's going to take for me to do that. And once I get there, nobody will listen to me. Nobody will receive what I have to say. So why should I even try? Now, I cannot imagine how surprised Moses was at God's response to this objection. What kind of response is this? God takes a staff. He He turns it into a snake. He turns it back into a staff. What is the point that God is making? It is this: God is all powerful. Nothing is too difficult for him. If God can take an inanimate object, a staff, turn it into a snake, and turn it back to a staff again, can he not work in the hearts of the people of Israel to listen to Moses and to receive his word? God was able to authenticate his messenger and the message. Moses simply had to trust and obey and leave the results to God. Now, you may be tempted to assume the worst as well. I know she's not going to listen to me. As a matter of fact, I know she's not going to like what I have to say. I am going to make a fool of myself. I'll probably lose a friendship. I won't even try. But I want you to remember this. Your concerns about how she responds to God's truth should not stop you from speaking biblical truth into her life. Your primary concern should be to obey God by graciously speaking biblical truth according to her need. The Lord is powerful to validate his word in her heart and life. You might not see an immediate positive response, but that's okay. Trust the Lord that he is working in her life in his own way and in his own time. And I just want to encourage you here to remember that God's Spirit works. And bring you back to these ideas of sanctification, that when God saves someone, he promises to sanctify that person. He promises to grow them in Christ-likeness. So in our context, we've been speaking about sharing biblical truth within the body of Christ with other believers. You may sit there and you may be so afraid of saying something to her that might be hard or difficult. But I want to encourage you to remember, she has the Spirit of God. If she's truly a believer, she has the Spirit of God. And the Spirit uses his word to comfort, to convict, to encourage, to grow. So be bold in the Lord, knowing that it is the Lord who is ultimately at work in her life. Next, number four, the Lord will teach you. The Lord will teach you. Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." So what did Moses mean when he said, "I am not eloquent"? We're not exactly sure. Did he have a speech impediment? Did he have a fear of speaking? A fear of being in front of crowds? Did he maybe think that the language would be too difficult now that he's been out of Egypt for 40 years? We're not quite sure. But whatever the case, we see that God did not see this as an obstacle. He directed Moses to put his full confidence in him as his creator. Have you ever felt like Moses? Do your personal obstacles to speak truth and love seem too large to overcome? You might think, "I'm not very good at talking. I get too tongue-tied. I'm not sure what to say. I'm not very quick on my feet. I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm not cut out for this." Just like God made Moses, he also made you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your concerns. But he still commands you to speak the truth in love. He created you and gave you your own unique ability to communicate. And he's given you his Spirit to teach him, to teach you his word. I love what it says in Psalm 51, 6 and verse 13. These verses have been an incredible encouragement to me. "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. I encourage you to trust the Lord that he is able to teach you what to say from his word and also to enable you to say it. There is no personal obstacle too great for God. And then number five, the Lord will provide a way for you to obey. The Lord will provide a way for you to obey. Exodus 4, verses 13 through 16. But he, Moses, said, "My Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him." Here we see Moses' last attempt. This wasn't an objection as much as it was a blatant refusal to obey. Basically, what the language is saying here is this: "Oh, my Lord, please someone else." He had nothing left to say but, "No, God, I'm not going to do this. Go find someone else who will." And you see God's response there. He was angry at Moses' resistance. After all of these promises and all of these reassurances he had given to Moses, Moses is basically saying, "No." The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And yet, in God's good fashion, he was still gracious to Moses. The Lord was angry with his unbelief, and yet he provided Moses with what Moses thought he needed to obey. He gave him someone else to do the talking. He provided Moses with his brother Aaron to help speak to Pharaoh and the Israelites. God still provided a way for Moses to move forward in obedience and to fulfill God's purposes. Do you find yourself in the same place as Moses this morning? I've asked you to think of a struggling friend this weekend, and you might still be sitting there in your chair, "Nope, not going to do it." You might be rationalizing or refusing to obey the call to speak. You may think, "I don't want to talk to her about her situation. I have good reasons why I shouldn't. I don't want to be involved. As a matter of fact, I'm sure someone else can talk to her about it, and I'm sure they will, but it's not going to be me." I want you to remember that your rationalizations and your excuses will never remove your responsibility to speak the truth in love in the body of Christ. God's intention is for you and me to communicate truth and love for the good of his people. Speaking is the primary way to do this. But in God's kindness, he may provide other ways to help you communicate the truth that needs to be communicated. Maybe instead of just sitting down and talking with her, you can read scripture with her. Maybe you can share with your friend a book or a booklet that is biblical and addresses the issues in her life. Maybe there's a specific sermon or podcast you can send to her. Maybe if she's straying from the church, you can be inviting her to come back and to be sitting under the powerful preaching of the Word of God. Maybe you can connect her to another friend who is stronger in the faith and has walked the same kind of road. But whatever you do, I then encourage you to do this. Go back and discuss with her what she has read, or discuss with her what she has heard. Have that life-on-life relationship with her where you can seek to reinforce the truths that she is hearing, and do that with a personal conversation. Trust the Lord that he will provide for you the opportunities, the instruction, and the encouragement you need to confidently speak truth with grace. God will always provide a way for you to obey. Now, in response to each of these five objections raised by Moses, God showed him that he would provide everything Moses lacked, God promised him his power and his presence to do what he needed to do. And you know the rest of the story. God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. And through all those years, God was always faithful to be with Moses and to give Moses the words to speak. In his word, the Lord promises you the same. He promises you his presence, his power, and all provision, so that you may faithfully speak the truth in love. And so, like God was for Moses, he will be with you. He will send you to those in need. He will validate the truth you share. He will teach you what to say, and he will provide whatever you need to obey him. God alone is our confidence to speak. We began last night in the book of Ephesians. We saw Paul urging the Ephesians to speak the truth in love. And Paul actually spoke out of what he lived. Again, he had been with them for 3 years, ministering to them, preaching, teaching, admonishing them. And I'd like to share with you what Paul said to the elders of the Ephesian church the last time he saw them as he was preparing to leave for Jerusalem. I'll read to you Acts 20, verses 18 through 20. He said this to the elders, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public from house to house." And then in verses 24 to 27, "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will ever see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And I love what it says in verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." My encouragement to you is not to shrink from speaking the truth in love, but to have confidence in the power of the scriptures and in the presence of God to minister his word to one another, so that you and that those you love will be built up, and ultimately that Christ will be glorified in his church. As we close, I want you to think once again of your loved one who is struggling spiritually. I would also like you to think of how you can minister to her as I ask these final questions. Number one, will you obey God's call to speak his truth into her life? Number two, will you speak to her with grace, knowing how gracious God has been to you? Number three, will you carefully consider what her actual spiritual burden is, and then seek to respond to it biblically? And number four, as you care for your friend by speaking the truth in love, will you place your confidence, your whole confidence, in God and in God alone? The Lord builds his church through the proclamation of his word, from the pulpit, but also across the kitchen table. God transforms lives through his truth and his grace, one life at a time. And in his grand design for the church, you and I are also builders. We have been called to build up one another by speaking the truth in love. And so my prayer for you is just like we have been singing, that the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart will please and glorify the Lord. Let's pray together. Again, I'm going to give you a few moments to pray silently. And as you do, I want you to consider, what concerns do you have personally about speaking truth and love to others? Take a moment to pray in light of what you have heard in this session, and ask the Lord to help you. Maybe there's one of these points in particular that speaks to your heart, and you can pray about that for a moment. I'd also like us to finish these moments of prayer giving thanks to the Lord, praising his name. As you consider these points that I shared during this session, choose one of those that is most meaningful to you and consider, what does that truth reveal about who God is and what he does? Give him praise for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who is with us. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, for any of us who have walked with you for any length of time, we know that to be true, that when we encounter trials and hardship, we know that you are with us. Lord, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, and we thank you for that. Lord, it says in your word that you comfort us with comfort that we may comfort others who are in any affliction. And so, Lord, the treasure that you have placed in us, the gospel and your promises, the truths that you have planted deep in our hearts as we have walked through times of trials, I pray, God, that you will bring those up in our lives, in our words, in our hearts, so that when we come alongside others who need encouragement or correction, that we can speak to them out of the grace you have placed in us. Lord, you are so good to save and to transform us. And help us, Lord, to remember that that is what you are doing in the lives of our sisters. God, thank you for the privilege we have to come alongside one another in the body of Christ, and please help us to do that and to do it well. Lord, I pray for this church and the many other churches that are here and represented this weekend, that you will help them to be beacons of light in this very dark and weary world. Lord, you say in your word that the world will know that we are Christians by our love. And so help us to love one another well by carrying one another's burdens. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.